Greetings again, aliens, ghosts, and robots. Hi, it's Keith. Glad to have you back. Had a real nice conversation on the Discord server this morning about some of the themes that keep popping up in my work, about how humanity struggles and we seem to go in circles of destruction that we don't always get a chance to learn from our past mistakes. We don't see the consequences that our actions sometimes take, and that might leave us fixated on the misery and the struggles that exist. And to be sure, there really are miseries and struggles and injustices in the world today. But the one thing that I like to try to point out in the work that I do is that humanity is better off than it used to be, in aggregate. Fewer people are dying of disease. More people have access to food. More people live in freer societies. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people who still struggle with violence and poverty and disease. But it's better. And I believe that's because humanity has a choice. We carry in ourselves a destructive nature that's left over from the days when we had to really struggle to survive. And yet, we are capable of invention and advancement and compassion and finding a way to make the world a better place. And I know we can do that because we have. We just have to, altogether, choose to. And it's my hope that, in the work that I do, we can continue to imagine what it might be like to overcome our baser natures and turn humanity into something truly supportive and egalitarian and amazing. Anyway, I would love for you to come and join the conversations we have on the Discord server from time to time. We're small, it's not terribly busy, but it's one of the best ways to get a hold of me. You can join the Discord server by going to invisiblesunpod.com, following the link there. And if Discord isn't your thing, you can still go to that website, sign up for our mailing list, where we can stay in touch. All right, here's today's episode. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 11. The metal folding chair under me was not designed for comfort. Even in the low gravity, I was getting tired of sitting and waiting. Through the window, I could see a couple of sheriff's deputies in dark gray uniforms standing in front of a bank of screens, but I can't tell what they're looking at or what they're talking about. They seemed unconcerned and unhurried. That much is certain. My cup of tea turned cold on the table in front of me, barely touched. The sheriff has kept me waiting here for nearly half an hour. Evan. I turned the possibilities over and over again in my mind, and none seemed particularly certain. Whoever had been there was obviously searching for something. No furniture was spared, no door unopened, every cabinet and crevice scraped empty. A robbery seems unlikely. Why would robbers be so thorough? There's also the possibility Evan had been in the apartment at the time. So, where had they taken him, and why? What of the trio I saw at the gateport? Sister Lucy and the other two. I imagined the tattooed man dragging my friend away, unconscious or dead. No, that can't be true. The food in the kitchen was a couple of days spoiled at least. They would have arrived on Mars today, along with me, assuming they were coming here. There could be other Invisible Sun members on Mars, though. The holding room's door buzzed. The sheriff entered. Like most native Martians, he's tall, lanky, and blonde, moving naturally in the low gravity. In him, there is also the cocksure confidence of so many law enforcement officers, an institutional assurance of authority. He briefly mentioned his name to me earlier, but I can't remember it now. Something definitively Martian, though, Dutch or maybe German. His badge doesn't have his name, only a number below the emblem of crossed spears representing the Martian Republic.
Hello again, Dr. Cousins. It is Doctor, right? Yes, technically. Like your friend, Dr. Greek. He's a doctor too, right?
He said these things to me with far too much casualness, making me wonder when the intimidation will begin.
Yes, he is. What are you a doctor of?
He sat on the edge of the table, hands folded across his uniformed thigh.
History. I have my PhD in history. So, not a real doctor. I mean, not a medical doctor.
It's the oldest insult out there for scholars, and it's easy to ignore.
No. Do you have any news on my friend?
The sheriff consulted a thin tablet held in his black gloved hand, but shakes his head a little bit.
I'm sorry to say we found no fingerprints in the place except Dr. Greek's and your own. And the tunnel cameras, they recorded no break-ins in the past 2 weeks. No visitors of any kind, in fact. I don't understand it.
With a light flick, the sheriff turned off his tablet and let it fall to the table next to my cup, odd to watch in the low gravity.
So you and he were friends? Yes. Just friends? Old friends. Colleagues at the same university for a while, but I haven't seen him in over 3 years. So why do you come now?
The chair creaked under me as I shifted, trying to flex some of the ache out of my knee.
Oh, just a visit. You know, trying to catch up. Sure, sure.
He folded his arms across his chest and stared down at me like I was a slightly interesting insect.
You weren't involved in the archaeological dig out at St. Michael's, either?
St. Michael's? Is that a cathedral? And archaeology was Evan's field. What sort of dig might be there? Graves? The sheriff watched me, his eyes suspicious, superior. He thinks I'm one of them. Whoever they are.
No, I knew Evan was working on something up here, but I had no idea what. So just curious, you don't know what they were doing out there? No.
He slid off the table and walked purposely in a circuit of the small holding room.
They say they're looking for undocumented early colonies, founded back before the Republic, searching around in the tombs under the cathedral, you know.
So I was right. But what would Martian graves have to do with the plague?
I've been out there a couple of times. Not much digging going on for a dig, as they call it. But what do I know? I'm not an archaeologist like your friend Dr. Grieg, or a historian like you.
I cleared my throat, gripping my knees so my fingers won't fidget.
Well, perhaps they're just looking for signs of old construction, or checking names and dates. You said there were tombs. They could be studying them. Oh, sure, sure. You're probably right about that.
He rested his hand on the butt of his sidearm strapped to his upper thigh.
Something about undocumented graves. We've had dozens of lads mining down there. They had to stop. So they said. Which was bad enough, putting people out of work. But then they go and they close the terraform fields nearby. You know about that? I've only been on Mars a few hours, Sheriff. I don't know anything about what's going on here. It's very mysterious. 2 weeks ago, Stratoline closes down the algae fields right next to St. Michael's. Comes down from some egghead preservation group. No offense. There's some historical find in the tombs, and they shut everything down. That's a lot of people out of work. People from my township. My friends. You understand. I'm sorry, I don't... Well, I'm curious about what they find, of course. But every time I go out there, there's nothing to see. Nothing but some really high-tech equipment. Big generators for power. Now, I think archaeology, and I'm thinking shovels and those little brushes, right? So what do they need all that for? And your friends at the dig? They're harder and harder to track down. Vanishing completely sometimes. But I really don't... What are you doing here? I told you. I came to visit a friend, and I had hoped you'd be able to find him now that he's missing, instead of harassing me about... Do not play your games with me. For over a year now, I've had professors and scientists and political dissidents just down the tunnel from my township. They keep to themselves. They don't talk to anyone. There's almost no evidence of them doing what they claim they're doing. Then, suddenly, corporate agents and Earth law enforcement come around, using words like terrorists and treason. And your friends, they scatter, like rats. And in the middle of all this, you show up, Dr. Cousins, another professor with a police file, looking for one of their lead men. You expect me to believe this is just another coincidence?
I have a police file? I suppose I must after the shooting, but now I wonder what's in it.
I called you. What? I called you. I don't know what's going on here. I really don't. My friend invited me to come, and I came. I don't know anything about what you imagine is going on at the dig, but if I did, and I was part of this conspiracy, would I call you?
He clenched his jaw, staring at me, but I kept calm. He had no answer for that. A rap on the window interrupts our stare down. A deputy beckoned him outside with some urgency. The sheriff collected his tablet, and the deputy buzzed him out. Alone again, I slumped forward. The past few hours have drained what reserves I am able to maintain for myself. I'm not sure what martial law says, but it occurs to me the sheriff might be able to keep me here indefinitely. I wondered if there were any lawyers on Mars that would help me. The door buzzed again and slid open. The sheriff was just outside, wearing a tight, angry expression.
All right, Dr. Cousins, you can go.
Just like that. I wondered if it was a trick, but if it was, what could I do about it?
I hope that you're serious about finding Evan, no matter what you think is going on. Very serious. Please let me know if you hear anything.
The sheriff just watched me go, escorted by the deputy through the maze of the police station and outside. Outside being relative, of course. I was still under the dome of Candor Chasma by City Hall. Overhead, the Martian night shone through the glass dome, a black sky strewn with stars. No moon, or moons, I should say. I have no idea what either of Mars's moons would look like from the surface anyway. I felt the distance between here and Earth pulling at me. I was miserable on Earth, but at least I knew what my miseries were. Here, all is a mystery. The town's roundabout was empty of traffic. I could hear soulful music coming from a tavern across the way, but I didn't recognize the tune.
Hey!
A figure stepped out of a knot of people gathered nearby under a faux gaslight.
There you are. Sheriff kept you a while, did he?
I recognized him as the cabbie from earlier.
Oh, yes. Listen. About my luggage.
He shook his head, smiling.
It's all taken care of. Your bags are at the hotel.
He points over at it, a generic-looking building of Martian brick and metal, marked with a blue neon sign of a bed.
I figured you might be staying there, but if not, it's okay, too. They don't mind. You have no luck finding your friend.
I'm afraid not.
Oh, that's bad trouble, bad trouble. Sorry. Thank you. And thank you for looking after my bags. Listen, did the sheriff or one of the deputies...
Search them.
The cabbie grins.
Yeah. Made a right mess, too. But I didn't see him take anything.
Well, that's something.
Thanks again. Sure. So, what are you going to do now?
I looked around the township center, with its scattering tunnels leading in all directions from City Hall roundabout. I had no idea.
I'll figure something out.
I headed for the hotel. An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms, and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it, and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.